There we go. How is everybody? Nice to see your faces. Those of you who have faces I can see. Good to see you. I know I say this every time, but I just can't believe it's December. It just is unbelievable to me. As we wait for a few more people to join us, I would love to just do a quick ask and see, just take a little temperature of the room, how everyone is doing, what you're working on. If you're in a bit of a mad rush to Christmas and have been very busy, if you're in a slowdown and you're chilling out, if you're frantically trying to finish tasks or you're working on special projects, like, let me know in the chat what you're working on, what's top of mind for you. Because certainly we can speak to that in our conversation today. But also, I certainly would love to know if you've got burning questions. We'll certainly cover that as well. But I also wanted to have time to take you through some of the stuff that we featured in the content this month in terms of the best from the year. I know some of you guys are really new, and I want to make sure there's a couple things you don't miss. And I would also love to chat about the quiz, if any of you guys did the Find Your Magic Number quiz, and if you got any surprises from that, because my experience, that is something I pulled out of my Find Your Magic course as sort of setting a baseline for this whole Find Your Freedom and Fulfillment promise that we make. And it's a really good starting point for that experience and that journey, because it gives you this baseline, and most people find the results a little bit surprising. So I just wanted to check in and see if any of you guys were able to do that quiz. And if not, I'll direct you to it because it's really good and a little bit surprising. So for those of you guys who are here for the first time, welcome. So glad to have you. I know there's some familiar faces here as well. This Q&A with Jane and I is always super interactive. Feel free to jump in at any point. This is your time, and I really want you to use it. One of the things I always feel really obligated to say is that both Jane and I charge usually somewhere between $500 and $1,000 an hour for one-to-one consulting. So these calls are really, really, really valuable. And use me. If you have very specific questions about your business, use me, because even if you're thinking, oh, well, that might not apply to the whole group, it doesn't matter. You're paying for your membership and you get access to me just like everybody else. And inevitably, there's at least one or two other people in the room who can really benefit from the question that you have to ask. So definitely don't be shy, jump in and use your consultant while she's here. And one of the things that's funny is, I don't know if you guys do any kind of more structured masterminding with individuals or a part of other mastermind groups, but sometimes I've done quite a lot of that. And sometimes you feel this pressure that if you're going to come to the Q&A, you have to have a question prepared or you have to know what you're going to talk about. And sometimes just sharing something or talking through something, that's especially if you're feeling stuck or spinny around it, can be really useful. So I want to invite you to do that as well. I don't want you to feel like this is a forum where you need to be all buttoned up and prepared to present something to the group. We're really, really casual around here, as you'll see, because I'm always showing up with, like, you know, like undone hair and no makeup. So this is like, you get the real deal here. That's what we're all about. So I just want to invite you to feel comfortable and know that this is a casual, safe space and it's yours to use. So definitely do that. You can use the chat if you want to interact there, or you can also just unmute yourself and jump in. So I'm going to check out and see what you guys are saying in the chat right now. Trying to get orders out and hope to regroup in January. Yep. Okay. So for those of you who've got product businesses, you're very busy, like packing the boxes and checking the Amazon and doing all of that. So congratulations. That's really exciting. Just finishing up with Holiday Photo Rush and recreating my website. Yep. So Terry, you're, as a photographer, you've got those last minute orders as well, haven't you? And I know you've just done the color course, haven't you? So you're mired in getting your color harmony together, which is cool. Very exciting. Michael is trying to stay focused with getting ready for the holidays, competing for my attention. Yes. Who here does not have a Christmas tree yet? Although, to be fair, I had to, for those of you who celebrate Christmas, obviously, I had to quarantine because my daughter had a fever last week. And so we had to go to the hospital, and then we had to not leave our house for a week until we had negative COVID tests, which is very interesting with dogs. Like, you're not allowed to walk your dog. So we had to ship her off to our mother-in-law because it was like, well, that's cruel. So that was an interesting week. But I was like, we're not going to get a tree because we went into tier three lockdown the day we got out of quarantine. So I was just like, oh, it's a wild year, isn't it? It's just so wild. Diane says, I just launched my third mini documentary film yesterday. May I post a link to it in the Working With Dog group? It's 3 minutes long and free. Sure, Diane. Yeah, feel free to do that. Congratulations. That's really, really exciting. Okay. I'm going to put the question out there of, that I mentioned, which was, if anyone only got the tree in a rush to take pics for social. It's so entrepreneur of you, Beth. I love it. Yes. That's so funny. Yeah, that's really funny. I'm planning a photo shoot with some photographer friends who I've hired for a client of mine. And I'm like, so do we need to hire a stylist? Are you going to have a Christmas tree up this year that we can just use in the photo shoot? Yeah, no, it's funny, isn't it? So the question, first question I want to pose is, did any of you guys get a chance to take the quiz that was in this month's content, the Get Insights quiz? I'm going to pop a link in the comments here or in the chat. Because if you haven't done this yet, this is one thing I wanted to highlight that we put in this month, and we always put it in December, and we encourage you to do it every year because it's a really great baseline for how you're feeling about your general sort of freedom and fulfillment, happiness quotient. It gives you a number. And what's really interesting is oftentimes we are quite surprised by the number we get and or surprised by the categories that are lower or higher than others. So that is a really fun thing I want to encourage you to do before the end of the year, and put it somewhere. Like, I always keep mine on a clipboard so I can come back to it the next year and see what's changed. It's a really, really good baseline. As far as, you know, our role in your life working with dog, I always love to think, like, if your number goes up, like, we're doing something right around here. So it's good for us as well if you're willing to take that quiz. Susan said, I did the quiz early in the year and scored 74. Wow, that's good. I think I would score higher now. Need to retake it. 74 is really good. Most people that I see get somewhere around a 50. And keep in mind, this is like 100 is like, I could not be happier. I could not have more things worked out to perfection in my life. So it's like, you know, it's not like getting an A. It's a pretty high bar. So 74 is a great score. Well done, Susan. Thanks for sharing. So I wanted to make sure you saw that. Grab it, download it, do that before the end of the year. It's pretty quick. It's kind of fun and hopefully a little surprising. And if you do take it, definitely we encourage you to share your results in the group because it sparks off some really fun, interesting conversation. But it's also really a really great way to look at the different categories and see what you want to focus on in 2021. So one of the things I always encourage is, as you're setting business goals, like revenue, for example, I always encourage you to also set a personal goal that you think will balance out the entrepreneur in you who wants to work all the time. So I've had people set goals around running marathons or weight loss or taking days off or spending more time with kids and dogs. So I think it's always good to be able to have that balance, to be able to approach the year with both. And taking this quiz can give you some really good insights into the areas that maybe need a little more attention next year and in the coming months. So does anyone have any burning questions that they'd like to jump in with today? I mentioned that this time is yours and it's here for you to use. Is anyone wrestling with anything, curious about anything, want to share anything as we get started today? You can unmute yourself or pop it in the chat, whatever is more comfortable for you. Pricing, okay.
All right, so I've got the three boxes on my homepage. And one of the things that, and it's not my favorite kind of session to do, but when I started the pet photography, it's because I believed everyone needed a beautiful photo of their pet. So on those three pricing boxes, do I put that really low price session that people just want an 8x10? Because I used to do the whole session and then I'd end up selling an 8x10, which is a lot of editing. It's a lot of time. So I've just started doing just these little quickie sessions for somebody that just wants an 8x10. Is that something that I feature, or do I still keep my higher priced packages on the homepage and just say, call me and I can help you?
Okay, so great question. Really great question. So I'm just looking for, actually, you sent me the visual of your homepage, and I'm just going to grab it and share my screen if that's okay with, is that okay?
Oh, absolutely.
So that people can see what you're talking about with the pricing table, because this is something I really, sorry, just signing into my email here to try and grab this thing. This is something I talk about a lot. It's something I really recommend. And I think it's a really important way to represent your pricing when you have a service business in particular. A bit different if you're doing, e-commerce, if you're doing physical products, but very similar if you're doing, a very sort of similar way you can present collections of products. So it's not completely out of context for you if you've got physical products. And what the starting point of this conversation that we're having right now is being able to represent your products and services visually in a way that makes them very clean and simple, so people don't have to read or think in order to either know which is a good fit for them or make decisions or move to actually get in touch or move to learn more, that kind of thing, because those are your biggest sort of barriers to actually getting those leads and inquiries. So I'll share the visual of this so you can guys see what Terry is talking about, and then I want to take you through why three and what those three should be for these products and services, which applies to anyone who's got that sort of business. So let me get this open. And if you guys have pricing related questions as I go, pop them in here, because pricing is a conversation everybody's always interested in. So this is great. Okay, let me find my screen. So bit of background, for those of you guys who don't know, I am an applied color psychology practitioner, and I just ran a little beta course helping entrepreneurs find their brand personality type and then find color palettes and color harmonies that actually, are able to make your marketing much more effective and make that first impression much more powerful. So Terry was a part of that course, which is why I already have this mock-up, and she's in the process of turning her brand into a color brand, which is leveraging applied color psychology to make us feel very, very warm and fuzzy when we interact. So this is a screenshot, so you can obviously see, you know, the login from her website and stuff on the top and the left, so that's not actually part of it. So this is Terry's site, and this is the pricing box that she's talking about here that she's working on. And this is a incredibly good representation of how I suggest your pricing should be is a product and service business. The first part of the strategy, and I call this skimmable pricing. So the first part of the strategy is three options. Now those could be three products, or they could be three categories of product. But what you're trying to do is simplify the whole process visually so that people don't get overwhelmed by that whole page with paragraphs of text explaining all the packages and all the things, right? The other thing you'll notice is that the one in the middle is called out. This is one way to do this. This is really great and powerful. You can also have things above that, like I really like having little call outs that are like most affordable, best value, most popular. So that people have those little cues to help them make a decision. You'll see there's a headline, a price, some copy, some bullet points, and a call to action. So I can skim. I can see what it is. I can see what it costs. I can get a few words about it. I can generally see from the bullet points what's included. And then the call to action is either going to be a book now, buy now, or learn more, where I go into a page or a place, a sales page or more information or a gallery or whatever, where I can either make further decisions from that point, or I can go straight from this to buy. So as far as why three, because even if you've got 27 different products, I still recommend that you try and create three core categories of those products. And I'll explain those in a second, is because this is leveraging a strategy that's called price anchoring. And it really encourages people to pick the middle one. So what I really suggest that you do is, if you don't have a lower cost, if you've got one product, one service, that's generally one price, I encourage you to create this, the smaller version and the more premium version, which we'll talk about in a second, because people are more likely to buy the thing you already sell. If you have these two other options, it makes them feel safer, more secure, and it helps them make the decision like, ooh, this one's a little cheap and this one's way too expensive. This feels great. Whereas if you only have the one, they are way, way less likely to buy. It's a weird psychology thing. I need to go back and read this research again. I read it when I was doing my marketing master's degree, but I found it absolutely fascinating. The other thing you'll see here is her pricing ends in 9. So this is one of those things I resisted for a really long time personally, because I was like, that's cheap. It's ugly. I'm trying to like be a cheeky like salesperson by ending in 9s. But then I read the research again and saw what actually happens in our brain when we see prices ending in 9, the rightmost numbers being 9, is there's, I forget exactly what it's called. It's called the fall off effect or the right fall off effect or something. But we genuinely read 899 as 800. And it genuinely sits in our brain that way. So the research is so staggering that you are more likely to buy something for $89 than you are for $85. So even though it's $4 cheaper, you are more likely to buy the thing ending in 9. It's wild. And 9 is the best number for this. Second, which you start to see people using a lot these days, especially in online marketing, is 7, then 5, then 3. Then 1, 0 is last. So I always, always encourage you to pick price points that end in 9, but that's just me. You certainly don't have to. I get questions a lot about, doesn't that like devalue my brand if I'm trying to be premium? And the reality is no, because everybody likes to feel like they're getting a good deal. And the 9s just actually, on a subconscious level, they really achieve that. So that's a helpful little tip that is in here as well. Yeah, it's funny. I see a lot of people talking about 7. So unless there has been new research that I haven't seen, because I did my degree in 2012. So the fact that it was 8 years ago certainly means that there could be new research indicating 7 is stronger. But in the one that I saw, it was certainly 9. It is odd numbers though. So 7 is the second best. So if you want to use 7, use 7. But it's really powerful. So that's the other thing that's in here. So the third thing is novelty core and premium products. So this is, I'm finally going to get around to your question, Terry, is the idea here. And this is a strategy that has a lot of tentacles in it. And you'll see me speak to this throughout different pieces of content inside Working with Dog, is when we have any kind of business, we usually start out thinking about selling stuff. Right? I want to make things. I want to sell things. I want to do this product or service. I want to have this experience. I want to get it to the customer. But at some point you start thinking, actually, especially when you start to realize how much cheaper it is to get someone to buy from you again than it is to go out and get a new customer, how nice it is to have a customer journey where when someone buys something from you, there's something else for them to buy. Either before they buy your more expensive thing or after they buy your less expensive thing. Once you've solved that first problem for them, is there another problem that you can solve? Once you've had them as a puppy, can you have them as an adolescent? You see where I'm going here. It's once someone likes you and you've put all that work in for them to fall in love with you, buy from you, love your products and services, to just like let them go and never see them again is a real loss. It's a real waste of an asset that you've got. And it's 60 to 70% easier to get someone to give you money for a second time than it is for to get them to give you money for the first time. So part of this is starting to look more critically at your product mix and your product strategy and think about that customer journey. Let's say the product you currently have, and we'll use Terry as an example, is this a basic photo shoot that has one price and it has one sort of time, and then people buy products from her after that. And now she's having to develop the cheaper version and the more expensive version because she's trying to drive people to the middle version. But what's also happening here is she's sweeping up people in the novelty, the cheaper one, who maybe aren't ready or can't afford the more expensive one, the middle one. She's also leaving money on the table right now if she's only got a middle one, because there could be people who want the premium one and they're happy to give her more money upfront for an experience or a product that fits their needs. Now, obviously there is some strategy and some research and testing and finding product fit and that kind of thing. I'm not saying you're just gonna make up a product and slap it on there and 1,000 people are gonna buy it from you. But especially if it's part of a thoughtful customer journey or thinking about the customers that you already have that you're losing, or the customers you already have who've given you a lot of money and maybe seem a little keen to give you a little more and what they want and need from you, it does start to reveal places and ways that you can make this happen. So one of the most simple examples, and I've done this repeatedly with one-on-one clients, is people who have individual services that are repeating, like let's say dog training, where they're like, I charge $150 an hour, pay me $150 an hour, and they're not selling packages. So what I've done with them is I bump up their price to $179 an hour and then give them a package of 10 sessions that they sell for $1,500. So their client is like, well, I can either pay $179 an hour or I can pay $1,499 for 10 and I'm saving, you know, what did I say? 179. See, my brain is already like 170, not 180. So 30, I can save $300 if I buy 10 in advance. I'm not really even sure if I need 10, but that little tasty opportunity to save $300, assuming I'm going to need 10 sessions to solve this problem, makes me want to just go all in. Plus, if I spend that money, I know I'm going to be committed to doing this dog training because I've already paid for it. So I'm going to go ahead and just buy it. And I have seen that work again and again and again, where all of a sudden, instead of making, you know, 150 at a time, these businesses are seeing these $1,500 purchases come in, which obviously has a huge impact on cash flow. And, you know, not everyone's going to use all those sessions. So it's really good for profitability as well. The other thing is it boosts up your price, right? So if you are doing just 1 hour with someone, you're now making $30 more for that hour because you're giving them the option of getting that better price if they're willing to give you more money and make more commitment in advance. So what I call these different tiers are the novelty core and premium offering in your business. And I encourage every single business to have these. If you have an e-commerce business, so for example, I use the example of Dog Is Good, my manufacturing business in California. The way we thought about this was our core product was t-shirts. We sold t-shirt. That was our core product. We sold them between $19.99 and $24.99, depending on what style they were. One of the best things we ever did was introduce stickers and buttons and cards, which were $1.99, $2.99, $3.99. Actually, our stickers were like $5 and they sold like crazy, and they cost us like 10 cents each. Best product I ever introduced in that brand was the bumper sticker. Plus, it's pretty cool driving around America and seeing them on cars. It's kind of a nice little bonus. But it was a hugely profitable product because what we discovered is not everybody was ready to invest $20 in a t-shirt. It sounds kind of cheap to me, but like it wasn't. Not everybody was ready. Plus, we attracted a lot of really young, sort of young girls who were like not really having the $20 to buy the t-shirt, but they really wanted to buy 3 cards with the same sort of messaging on it because they could afford that for less than $10. So that would be the novelty product category for Dog Is Good. It would have been the stickers, the cards, the magnets, the gifty stuff. Then the t-shirts were pretty core. And then in premium, we started to introduce things like our hoodies were around $60 because we They are very expensive to make and they're really high quality. And if you're going to go in on a hoodie, you need it to be good, right? Nobody wants the cheap, flimsy, lightweight, going to pill up and be disgusting in a month hoodie. We created our own pajamas. We started to do some really interesting stuff with cooler styles and stuff with apparel. We started doing scrubs for veterinarians. And that would have been more in the premium category because it was more of an investment between $60 and $80 instead of $20. So even though we had, you know, hundreds of SKUs, I would still think of them in these three sort of core categories: novelty, core, and premium, so that I understood that if you weren't ready to buy a t-shirt, you might buy a magnet. If you've already bought six of our t-shirts, you might be ready for the hoodie. So it helped us really understand our customer journey, and it made sure that we had something for everyone. So those young girls who are coming to our booth and just like in love with our stuff but couldn't afford the t-shirt are all of a sudden spending $17 on cards instead of $22 on a t-shirt. And we're making a ton more money on that investment because it's a way more profitable product. So just forcing yourself to consider this and think about it is really helpful for thinking about your product strategy and your product mix and money you might be leaving on the table right now, or people that you might not be able to serve right now because you don't have products that serve them. Okay, so Terry, back to your question. We will, now that I've explained all of that, we'll put this in action with Terry's business. So I'm assuming you currently have like a core session that you're planning to put in the middle. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. The prices that are up there are still just the default pricing from the theme, but yeah. And I guess my biggest question is if I have my premium package and I'm not even settled in on my pricing, but if my premium package is like $21.99, is having a premium, having $21.99 and $129, is that too much of a difference to go from the novelty to the premium, or is it okay to have that?
No, that's great. I love the premium to be, I mean, you can do whatever you want and it works in a lot of different ways, but especially with something like photography, I love the premium one to be a little over the top because the point of it isn't even that you're going to sell it. I know that sounds a little weird, but, and, you know, obviously we hope that you do, but the point of it is to make the middle one look like a really good deal. So even if you never sell the premium one, it's doing a job for you by existing, making people more likely to click book now on the middle package. So partly because you're showing that you have this other offering and people will assume that some people are buying it from you. And they're not quite ready for that, but they definitely don't want the cheap one. So I'm just going to go ahead. It's a tremendous confidence booster. The other thing is that there will be people who will buy it because of the price. That sounds amazing. What a cool experience. I love that product. I'm just going to grab that. And my best example of this is I went through this process with one of my one-on-one clients who was also a photographer, and she was charging, I forget what, like $250 or somewhere around $300 for her regular session. And we put her mini sessions on here. So things she would only do once every quarter or so, special events where, and we put a book now button on those. So they would be sold out by the time they arrived. She didn't even have to work to sell them because, you know, let's say it's February and she's not doing another one until May. It would be up there. They would see May. Actually, it's like $100 and the other session $300. So even if I have to wait till May, I'm just going to go ahead and book it now. Then she had a regular session in the middle, and then we added a $5,000 session for her premium session that was completely aligned with her brand, what she does, how she does it, the type of work that she creates. And it was an experience. It was a weekend, essentially, that included a certain type of photography and a certain type of product and this weekend experience as well. And partly it's really cool and buzzworthy. It's something I encourage her to go out and try and get some press around because it's a really cool experience. And partly it's her absolute ideal scenario for how she wants to be shooting is to be able to do more of those sessions. It's her dream come true. So when she gets one of them and she booked one, she made this change and she booked one within a month. And we were both a little surprised because, you know, she didn't have a huge audience and it's a really big price point. Amazing. So great. But part of the reason that worked is because it was really, really aligned with her brand. So when people showed up in her world, started to get a feel for her and then saw this package, it was like, oh my God, well, if I'm going to go all in, I want this because this is so cool. And we're always going to remember it. And then we're going to have this art on the wall to remember it. And this is how I want to remember my dogs. So it was perfect. So I'm not worried about the gap between the cheapest and the most expensive. What is important is that they are remarkably different products and services, right? So if you're charging $5,000 for something and $100 for something, they need to be very, 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 very different. This is one of the things with photography that I love of maybe having studio stuff is the cheapest and it's only available as the cheapest and it's only available in this way, like mini sessions, and you only get this and it's only that. And if you want the real experience, you've got to go for the middle one or higher. But it is a chance to get that headshot or get that Christmas card or whatever at this other price. And the key for all of you guys, if you're going to add a novelty product category or package, is that it kind of has to be the thing you're excited when people buy, because it's really, like I was talking about with the cards and magnets, it's highly profitable. So one of the things I discovered when I started to dissect the photography business model that everybody was that I was using and that everybody was teaching, in this boutique model of spend 20 hours with a client and get somewhere between $1,000 and $5,000 back from them, hopefully, at the end, was that actually when you look per hour, mini sessions are more profitable. If you can get 10 to 15 people in a day and they're each spending between $200 and $500, for that time invested, you're making more money per hour selling those $100 sessions than you are spending 20 hours with that one client, hoping that they're going to, you know, meet the average sale that you need to get the value back. So this is why I started really pushing photographers to be like, do mini sessions once a month, do them once a quarter, do them more, do 5 days a year at least, because this is a highly profitable product in a short burst of time. So although it looks kind of cheap on your price list and you're like, oh, is it really worth it? I'm not really sure. I don't know. If you structure it in a way that is very, very efficient with your time, as in everybody has to do it on the same day, and that's the compromise when you get the cheap one, it can be your most profitable stuff. So again, this is looking at, for all of your businesses, your option with the novelty thing is A, getting people to potentially buy this one thing so they'll buy the big thing from you, which works in some businesses, not in others. In photography, that doesn't always work. If they're gonna buy the cheap thing, they might buy the cheap thing from you repeatedly, multiple times a year or every year. But usually I don't see people move up from the cheap one to the expensive one. Whereas in something like e-commerce with Dog Is Good, for example, they would buy the card, mug, sticker, t-shirt, hoodie. So it can lead them to increase their purchase with you and increase their lifetime value as a customer. Does that make sense?
That was perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you put mini sessions as the novelty and it's sold out, do you create a new one or put them on a mailing list for updates? That's totally your choice. For me, I'd be like, if that's sold out, I'm going to add more dates, right? If I can keep selling these and they're my most profitable products, like I'm adding more dates, especially if they're not hard to sell. Could the three tiers be novelty, product, core product, and membership? Okay, so membership is usually a core product. So you would probably be novelty product, membership, and premium product. So for example, novelty could be a short course, something that's like $29, $39, something like that. Membership, whatever your monthly rate is, or your novelty, it depends on how much your membership is. Let's say your membership is $59 a month, then the novelty would be $19, $29, somewhere around there. And then you would have premium products, which is maybe a special group within the membership or one-to-one, or some sort of, often what I've seen with memberships is where you buy, but you get some extra, you have either an extra tier of membership or you get some extra stuff like one-on-one time or physical products that go along with the membership. But usually membership is going to be a core product unless you have a really premium one. Is there a way to apply this info to cat boarding? Okay, great question. So one of the greatest ways would be kind of what I was saying at the beginning around the dog training model is I can buy one thing or I can buy 10 things at once. If I buy 10 things at once, I pay less per thing, but I have to pay for 10 of them in advance. So this is how you kind of give people that discount, that good deal they're looking for, but make it good for you because you're getting the cash flow, you're getting paid in advance. So for something like boarding, I'd be looking at, you know, days per month or days per year. You know, we're going to book in for these 3 days. Well, actually, if you want to just book 10 days for the year, you can use whenever you want. You save XX per day. And we give you this special little bonus thing of like, you know, premium cuddle time, or we put you in the better cages, or, you know, like you can use things like that. And I've seen that work really well in boarding, where I worked with Petco's brand, was it Pooch Hotel? They bought this brand of like fancy hotel dog boarding. And they use really cool things like, you know, extra cuddle time where people would come in and spend more one-on-one time with their dog, or upgrading their bed, or upgrading the amount of time they got to spend in the pool, or things like that, which are really great incentives because it makes the pet owner feel like, well, I want my pet to have a better experience while they're there. So da 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 da. And if those things are things that don't actually cost you anything else, you can throw them in order to get people to spend more at one time, which again, good for cash flow, and also really good to make people feel like they're getting a good deal. You're giving them access to something that makes them feel like, oh, well, if I just invest a little more, then I'm getting a good price, which everybody loves. It makes people feel really good. Taryn.
Hey, so my minis have been super profitable this year.
Okay.
And I think that's in part, so my minis used to always be in studio, and because of COVID, I've moved them outside. Okay. And I've been bad about sticking to my to my timelines. So
what a surprise.
I've been giving everybody a little extra time. And that's resulting in more images. So my packages are, you know, it's either like your favorite single image, your favorite three images, or your favorite five images. And most people are finding more than five that they really love. Mm-hmm. So my question is that a lot of people will book the base or the middle package. Mm-hmm. And then at the time of the ordering appointment, they're like, oh, I better just upgrade to the big package, mm-hmm. which is great. I'm happy to let them do that. Should there be something like some sort of incentive for them to just book the package that they want in the first place versus just allowing them to upgrade later? Or I could be completely overthinking it too.
No, I like that you're thinking this through. So what do we know about people when they're making a purchase? What do we feel generally, especially for a product like photography, when we haven't seen it yet?
It's really scary to make choices on photos that you haven't seen. And sure. I 100%, I know that that's why people are booking the small and the medium packages.
Absolutely. And I was just advising a client yesterday on a commercial shoot saying, well, let's actually just buy four images in advance because we haven't worked with this photographer before and we don't know what the output's going to be. And I don't want to book you in for 20 images if we don't know we're going to find 20 images that we like.
Right.
And that is me as a photographer doing this work for, you know, almost 20 years. So we're always going to be risk averse. So I'm not sure there's a way to fix that at the beginning. Okay. One of the things you can do is punish it by not letting them upgrade. And then when they do, they have to pay more per image than they would have if they booked the bigger package to start with. But I don't really see the benefit of that necessarily, because we want to be friends with our clients when they're in the sales session, right? Yeah, exactly. We want to be their advocate and ally. So making them feel annoyed that they, you know, wish they would have bought the other one and now they're stuck is not a great strategy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think you're doing everything right there. I think what might be good is offering them having other options besides just you can have one, three, or five at the mm-hmm. time of the ordering. So like maybe, so you could say like, well, you can't upgrade to this other package, but you can buy this pack of five images or this pack of 10 images on top.
Well, Yeah, I just added on the ability on the big package. So like if you get the big package, that's a crazy value anyway. If you buy that, then you can also have the option to add on your full gallery.
Okay. Yep. That's interesting.
So you can just get everything.
So yeah, I upgrade and then upgrade again, basically, to get it.
Yeah. Yep, so it's like you have your per image price. So if you wanted to get 5 more images, you might as well just upgrade to the full gallery.
That's great psychology. I think that's really smart.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's no skin off your back, right? Like you'd rather they have them all if you can get the max amount pay.
Yeah.
You can get max amount value out of the sale and they can get max amount images out. And this is what I mean about that win-win good deal. It works for everybody.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Okay. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Jody says, I'm now wondering if it might be fun to create a car magnet or other novelty items and use them as a way to get free shipping number on orders under 59. We have some reasonably priced treats that we can use for that, but it sounds like you can make a big profit on novelty. You absolutely can make a huge profit on novelty. Now, what I will say to that is you need to make sure that people actually want and are willing to buy these things before you create them, right? So, this is a really good, and I speaking to the whole finding your premium product as well, this is a really good reason to do why finding and for your company to be purpose-driven and to have really emotional language and assets within your brand. Because if you want to do things like t-shirts, stickers, you know, mugs, magnets, you want to know that. And I'm not saying you would do this, Jody, but a lot of companies will just put their logo on something and assume that people will buy it, which I'm assuming like,
I wouldn't do that. I would like to do that, but no, I won't do that. I'm thinking it would say something cute, like, you know, I helped save a shelter animal. And then with, you know, some sort of infographic, just some sort of a graphic thing. Just as you were speaking about it earlier, just got my wheels spinning because the treats that we're selling that people will use to top ups, you know, you hate to pay shipping. I mean, I never pay shipping. I will do anything not to pay shipping. I will buy the $10 treat bag just not to pay the $5.99 shipping.
Totally.
Yeah. Right. I think people think like that. I don't think they would, but so yeah, as soon as you said, wow, you can make this enormous profit on these things. It might be worth investing in getting a designer to come up with some cute little design that we might be able to tack on. So that's
great. Yeah. And what I'm saying is 100% that, and it might be worth doing a little bit of the why finding stuff to find the right language. Okay. Because what I see happen a lot, which does work, it's, I'm not saying it doesn't work, is we're going to, and I see this a lot because people are constantly ripping off Dog Is Good and stealing our stuff and putting it on their own magnets and t-shirts and selling it.
Yeah.
But people look around for something that other, you know, like, you know, I want to be the person my dog thinks I am, or, you know, some of these things, they grab it, they slap it on, they put a paw print next to it, they shove it on a bumper sticker and they sell it for a buck, which is fine. Like I said, it does work. It reminds me of kind of walking down Venice Beach and seeing all the different Venice Beach t-shirts. And it's like, all I'm doing at that point is I'm shopping on price. Cause it's like, am I going to get the $15 one or am I going to get the $20 one? Cause it's all the same t-shirt that says Venice Beach, you know?
Yeah.
It's commodity. But in the pet space, that seems to work. So I'm not saying don't do that. But what I am saying is if you are interested or willing to go a little deeper to establish some core language, some core brand statements, some core messages for your brand that resonate for your brand and for your people, then that little extra time and investment is worthwhile because it is to your core what you're about. It's stuff you can repeat repeatedly on social media. It's language you can give your customers to repeat as well because they're proud of it too. And then certainly it gives you the opportunity for merchandise for mugs, hats, stickers, t-shirts, etc. And it also starts to create culture and community because people are now rallying around this idea and you've given them really good language with which to do that. Mm-hmm. So I would say first why finding and or hiring a copywriter, second designer. And I would say the copywriter is actually probably more important.
Okay. Thank you.
Because there's one thing that I've learned that is incredibly heartbreaking to me as a graphic designer who has a brand that I love very much. It's that Most of the population is not as design savvy as you think they are. They really don't care, which I learned the hard way through Dog is Good and creating these awesome t-shirts, and we sold them, but we also sold them when they were not as cool. So, you know, like I said, the whole commodity thing does work in pet, but I would encourage you to go that step further.
Thank you. That's great.
Especially because then you can trademark it. And then if people do rip it off, then you send them the cease and desist like we do.
Thank you.
Do you think people would like to wear a t-shirt that says, I tackle tinkle with fun art? I think you should float that out to your audience, Julie, because I think it's fun enough that it would be worth finding out. On the one hand, I'm like, would I wear that? No. On the other hand, would other people wear that? Probably, especially if it's a, like, if it's really fun. So it's a conversation starter, which I've found is pretty motivating for people. But what I would say for any of you guys who are thinking of adding this sort of novelty product or merch would be, especially if you've got any kind of Facebook presence or Instagram presence, any kind of audience and email, test them. Test out the ideas, test out the designs, let your audience choose. And then you'll get such a strong indication really quickly of either, oh yeah, that's nice. I like A, I like B. Or like, oh my God, I need to buy this t-shirt. You know, you can really get a sense from them on whether this product is worth developing or not. Because by floating it out there, you have no obligation to create it. But you've spent, you know, a lot less than ordering 300 t-shirts. So I think it's definitely worth testing, Julie. Where do you find a good copywriter? Well, I think there are a few in Working with Dogs. So definitely ask in the group. Absolutely. And I would also do the Y finding that's in, I'll grab you the link. It's Working with Dogs. Do the Y mapping exercise. Because I'm not logged in, sorry, hold on. It will reveal some language for you that will be very, very useful to help keep a copywriter. Because there's kind of two pieces of this. There's your overall brand strategy and your brand purpose and your kind of mission. And I know you've got a lot of that stuff sort of nailed down. But looking at why finding and finding brand pillars and being able to get that I believe and that emotional spin on it, that's not something you necessarily want a copywriter to do for you unless they're really immersed in the brand. So you want to go through whatever process you would need to for them to properly immerse themselves. Otherwise, do the why finding work first and then bring to them some of these key trigger words and your brand pillars and stuff. And then that gives them more direction to really nail it. It'll save you time, save you money, and get better results. So let me grab this. Where is it?
I would really appreciate that. That would be good because we're keep trying to figure out basically just a tagline to keep using.
Yeah.
That's just easy, just finding it. And just do it is already taken. I have a sort of a conceptual question or a 30,000 feet question, and realizing that all of these are like necessary and sort of equally good, but where to put focus when you're, you know, you have a sort of a product, and it's a big wide world. So there's social media to get word out. There's PR and spending time reaching out to media stuff and things. Okay, like
social media, PR.
There's PR, and then just doing ads. Like I'm in the Amazonian jungle now, and they also have a very extensive way that you can do ads and all of that stuff. Basically, SEO. On specific platforms. Shopify keeps trying to up their game.
SEO or ads.
SEO. Or both. Yeah, like Google, right. Like doing SEO, like Google, Amazon has its own ad platform within there. Gromit just sent me a dispiriting email saying that they're going to let you do stuff there too. And I'm like, no, Like, for the love of God, no.
Yeah.
You know, when you have to sort of, there's only so many hours in the day, and I'm not technically good with this, with any of this stuff. So if it feels overwhelming, it's like, what do you think is the best use of trying to reach your customers?
Well, I'm going to say one thing, and this is a really good resource for everyone. I'm popping in the September theme, and sorry, I'm just, here we go. thanks, Taryn. Popping in the September theme, which is, we had a workbook in September, which had one of my favorite tools that we have inside Working with Dog, which is basically pick the outcomes that you want, pick the way you want to work. So things like, do you want a long-term impact? Do you want quick fix? Do you want it to be cheap? Do you want, I forget all the things, but basically deciding what your priorities are. And then it shows you all the marketing activities that fit those criteria. And then it breaks those marketing activities, something like advertising, down into like Google ads, Facebook ads, this thing. And it's like, pick between one to three of these. The reality is that for any, oh, by the way, here's the branding link as well that I mentioned for Jody. For any of these things, it's not a straightforward answer of like, well, just this, obviously, because it depends on what your budget is. It depends on what the outcomes are that you want. It depends on whether you have more time than money or more money than time. It depends on the product and the industry, the category. So my best advice is to go to that workbook, download that tool and fill it out and see what you get based on whether you want something that's going to be shorter term, longer term, cheaper, et cetera. Also, all these different marketing activities have different outcomes. So for example, some things are really good at driving sales. And I think that's what I'm hearing you say is, I want to drive sales. Other things are really good at driving awareness, which leads to sales over a longer period of time. Other things are really good at driving relationships and engagement, which also ultimately leads to sales. The reality is, you need to be doing probably at least three of these things to get the results that you're looking for. If you focus on one thing, it's going to take longer, be harder, because you're not as everywhere. But we all have a limitation to our resources and our time, which is why in Working with Dog, we say start with one social channel. Like, don't worry about Facebook and Pinterest and Instagram and YouTube. Like, pick one that you really focus on. And then later, you can add two, unless you can afford to hire someone to manage another one for you because of that whole time and focus thing. So for your product, if we're looking at organic social media, right? Or PR or SEO or advertising. I would say the most likely, the warmest lead is always the person who's looking for you. So SEO for most businesses, getting your page ranking up and being found by the people who are looking at for you is usually the best bet for getting ROI. However, it also takes time. It's not fast.
Right.
So, you know, getting to the top of your search results, being found easily in Amazon, those are things that are a lot of a safer bet than some of the others, but they're not fast. Whereas something like PR, if you get a good one, is fast, but you could spend a year, you know, placing and working to get that good one. And something like Facebook ads is absolutely genius. It's affordable, it's highly targeted. I absolutely love it. But the way Facebook ads work better are if you are also doing a content strategy and you can be sharing blog posts and this kind of, or user generated content, and you can be promoting that, is much cheaper than just selling directly on Facebook with Facebook ads. Now we're seeing some interesting things with Instagram and like Instagram shop. That might be a really good combo of like social media and advertising. If you were to like pay for ads on Instagram with your product where you can get that shop now button that comes up. I've seen that work really well for pet brands. And it's kind of that happy medium of people are a little more inclined to shop off of Instagram than they are off of Facebook. They're way more inclined to shop off of Pinterest than they are off of anything, but you need kind of people to be looking for you and you have a really unique product. So I feel like Instagram might be a better bet for paid ads. Yeah. I know I didn't totally answer your question, but it's not totally straightforward.
No. It's not straightforward at all. And this is, it's a chicken and an egg thing. And it's a good problem to have. I mean, it's not, nobody's dying on the table. So it's like,
yeah. And I think the reality with this, for this is a decision that this is a question I bet everyone on this call could have asked. It's something we all want to know. Where should I spend my marketing budget? Where should I spend my time? What's going to work best? What would you suggest? And this is why A, we have to try and test a lot of things because we don't know. And B, it's why we need to create habits. I'm going to create a content habit of doing a blog every week or every month or an email every week. And I'm just going to get that going. So it's easy and it's a system and it's a process in my business. Then I'm going to add another habit on top of that, which is going to be sharing things on LinkedIn or showing up on Instagram or starting to do Facebook Lives. And then I'm going to create that habit once a week and I'm going to get that established. So it's a system and it's process and it's easy. And then I'm going to add another one. So it's especially if you're not hiring help, my best advice is to create habits instead. Make sense?
Yes.
Taryn says, I think Instagram ads would be awesome for you, Beth. I think you could bring a lot of personality into it and make it funny. You have such great humor around your product. Yeah.
Since it's dog poop, it's kind of like.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't sling around too much.
Okay. So I have 1 minute left because I do have to jump on another call. What if I offered 10 boarding days for a sale price, but I only offered it at the first of each month? That sounds, I'm not fully understanding that, Gwen, but I would say it sounds too complicated to me. It sounds hard. It sounds, doesn't sound easy. So I would just leave it on your website. One boarding day, 10 boarding days, 20 boarding days, different prices, and you just try and upsell people into the 10 and they have a year to use it or something. Because even though it's, you know, they're using vacation days, most people will take at least 10 days of vacation in a year. Maybe not, I mean, America, you never know, and certainly not entrepreneurs, but most
people. It's really hard right now because nobody's traveling or they're on Zoom or it's not like a dog, so.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And part of this will be like really listening to what people want or really paying attention to what people are actually buying and are actually asking from you. And then just trying to craft some packages around that where you can up the price that you're charging now. So it's not like you're going to take what you're charging and charge less. You're going to up what you're charging now for onesie twosie and then charge what you were charging for the package. And that's a really good way to get your existing clients to just buy a little bit more so they can keep the current pricing.
Okay.
Yeah. I know it's a little tricky and certainly it's been, whoa, it's a tough year for travel. It's a tough year for pet services. Yeah, I hear you. Recommendation for a photographer in Minneapolis. Look up Sarah Earnhardt, Sarah Beth Photography. She is fantastic. And I think she's in Minneapolis. Is it Sarah Beth now? Sarah Earnhardt. Not sure what her current branding is. She does a lot of work on a situation called Joy Session. She does a lot of end of life stuff. She created this whole brand around it. Here is her LinkedIn. I don't have time to go find her website. But this is her and she's brilliant. She's really good. But I'll also have a think and I'll ask in my group as well for people who, she does a lot of studio stuff. She also does lifestyle. But I know you'd probably want lifestyle stuff, right? For around the, is it for during construction and brand photos on site? Okay, let me have a little ask around for that. Sarah's the first one who comes to mind. Woo, that was a whirlwind today, guys. It went super fast. Well done. Sorry, I have to run. I do have a hard stop today. Of course, continue this conversation on in the Facebook group. Go tag me if you have questions that didn't get answered. Just go in the Facebook group, ask and tag me, or ask and tag Jane if it's a Jane question. Great stuff. Thank you so much for bringing it. It's so much fun when you guys have all these great questions. And of course, as always, we'll be popping up the recording. So if you want to revisit the pricing conversation or any of that stuff, you will easily be able to do that. So thank you. See you next time. Oh, I will say as well that it's office hours today for Jane as well in the Facebook group. So if you go into the Facebook group and find the office hours post, you can ask anything of Jane and she'll answer it within 24 hours. So if there's something you wanted to go deeper on, that's happening today too. You can go straight there and do that now. See you later.